Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Wes.
This is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, episode 55 of the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is the official show for the month of May 2015, in which we're going to talk about some news and some new releases and talk a little bit about E3.
I can't wait.
Yes,
I'm super...
You have no idea what's happening.
Neutral. All I know is my guess.
What makes a man neutral?
What makes a man neutral?
Power? Lust for gold? Or is he born full of with a heart of neutrality? What are we talking about?
The yarn people of Nylar 4.
Yes, of course. If I don't survive, tell my wife I said hello. So, let's talk about some news.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We'll blast through this pretty quick. There's not
so
a
what's Obama doing now? Oh, game news. I'm sorry.
Oh, Barack the Islamic Shock? Is that what we're talking about?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I got nothing.
So,
that's his wrestling name.
I really want to see that now.
It's the king's music.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be talking about video games, I think, right?
Some video game news.
I don't want to leave this as a conversation right now.
I don't know where else to go with it.
All right, go on.
So, one or two game announcements. One, there's another Mystery Dungeon, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game that got announced. Pokemon, I don't know. I was surprised, too. I don't think we've gotten one of these in, 7 years.
This is just terrible.
And then it's just, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon. Come on.
Oh, they added a Super.
Yeah, it sure did. I don't know. We really haven't played much of those games, have you?
Yeah.
I think we might have talked about them once.
I think I played for 5 minutes and said, why?
You got mad because they made you Meowth, because they make you take that personality test. you take that personality test in the beginning and it chooses your starter Pokemon for you.
Yeah. I would have to reevaluate my life decisions if they pick Meowth for me. I'm doing something wrong here. I need to fix this.
Serious personality change.
I need to fix this.
But you could become a Persian.
So,
never mind.
In some other news, the 8GB Wii U model is being discontinued in Japan. To which I wonder, why hasn't it already been discontinued? Who is buying the 8GB Wii U model? That's absurd. So, another game announcement. Art Academy Atelier is coming out in Europe on June 26th, so pretty soon. Art Academy, for those of you who remember, was a game that was talked about back in the Wii U, before the Wii U launched, back in 2012. And it's finally coming out. I don't know what has taken this game so long, but there it is. Also, there was a Kickstarter for Igarashi's new game. Igarashi has been at the helm of the Castlevania series for quite some time. He was the main man behind Symphony of the Night, which kind of set the tone for future Castlevania games, and did 3 Castlevania games on the GBA, did 3 Castlevania games on the DS, and then Konami stopped making good Castlevania games. And then he left Konami, and he's doing a Kickstarter for his own game called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
Wow, that's an occult name.
It's
deep and dark.
Hail Satan,
right?
Oh my god.
Quite
god.
Gothic.
Are there sacrificing goats in it?
Are we going to defile the virtuous?
There's actually a sequel to that Demon Baby game we talked about last show.
Oh yeah. Conception 2. So, this game was on Kickstarter. Still is on Kickstarter. It's hit most of its stretch goals. When it was announced for Kickstarter a couple weeks ago, there's a bit of a hubbub because there was no Nintendo version. It was just for the Sony and Microsoft systems as well as PC. And it was a bit of a shock that the guy who did 6 handheld Castlevania games exclusively on Nintendo systems would just go ahead and do versions, not necessarily multi-platform versions, but versions that were not on Nintendo systems. But when they announced the Kickstarter, there were stretch goals, and there were these mystery stretch goals. So 500,000 funded the game to go onto Sony and Microsoft platforms as well as onto Steam. And there were other stretch goals for DLC or stuff like that. And then there was this mysterious $3 million stretch goal. And as the game hit the $2.5 million mark, they announced hey, this $3 million version is the Wii U version.
For real?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it did hit that today. It hit the $3 million. Yeah, it's pretty cool that there is a version for Nintendo systems, and it'll probably be the version I play. It's I don't know, it's a little bit troubling that it's like, hey, here's the full game for other systems, and $2.5 million later, here's a Nintendo version. It feels like, and this is not the only game that does this sort of thing. It feels like they put that Nintendo goal out of reach to kind of push Nintendo fans to donate and possibly keep donating as they get closer and closer to that goal. It feels a little bit like
if it stalled out at like 2.75.
Yes.
And you were the one, if you were like the group that wanted just the Nintendo release.
Right. Yeah, and it feels a little bit like...
And you're telling me you can make it for two different consoles for 500K, and right. You need six times that to produce it for the Wii?
Right.
I mean, that sounds like bullshit.
It feels like we're being taken advantage of as Nintendo fans. It's like I said before, they're not the only game that puts that Nintendo stretch goal out of reach to sort of entice
Nintendo
fans.
Like, where would the Castlevania series be without Nintendo?
Right.
It
would be where they ended up with the Lords of Shadow series in the dumpster. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave a shit about those games, and the DS version didn't review well. The Lords of Shadow 2 game on other consoles did not review well at all. And it seems like Castlevania is kind of a series that has disappeared for at least a little while, but yeah, it was a little shocking, a little troubling to not have that goal at first, and then to have that goal such like in such a distance. It's not exactly sitting right, but I didn't, and because of that, not only because of that, I never contribute to Kickstarters. I didn't contribute to this one, but I'll probably buy the game when it comes out just to the
game. What is the name again? That's an awesome name.
Bloodstained Ritual of Night.
Yeah, to play the game backwards, you go around blessing people and thanking them for their prayers.
Sure.
Oh, wow. As you lose levels.
So the Wii U version is going to be developed by Armature, who is made up of a lot of people who were at Retro Studios previously, so some people who have experience working on Nintendo systems. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it's nice that we're getting the game, it just doesn't exactly sit right with me that they had to go such a distance to make it happen. But anyway, let's move on to some rumors. There was a rumor going around that Intelligent Systems, specifically a division of Nintendo, is working on a new Paper Mario game for the Wii U, which is pretty cool. I like Paper Mario.
Yeah, I support that.
Yeah. Did you play Thousand Year Door?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's so good. Thousand Year Door is amazing. Then, as I'm unable to read my notes here, there was the latest Humble Bundle. Are you familiar with Humble Bundles, either of you guys?
Yeah, I bought one before.
Yeah, there's the latest Humble Bundle is exclusive to Nintendo systems.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, it's all Nintendo eShop games, and I actually did contribute to this. I pitched in $10, which got me the full package of games, because sometimes they divide it up like if you donate anything, you get these. If you donate,
you get like the core amount, and if you want to spend a little more, you get the other ones.
Right, and if you spend more than the average, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, there's just some kind of theme around it. It'll be like simulator games, or it'll be side scrollers or something like that.
Yeah, this time the theme is just Nintendo eShop games. Guacamelee is on there, as well as The Good. Fall. Ollie Off the Fall, that's the game you played a little bit of, Wes, when you're the AI in the suit and you have to get the guy inside.
Oh, yeah,
inside
that really weird one.
Yeah, kind of the horror game. Stealth Inc. 2, Steamroll Dig, Ollie Ollie, Mighty Switch Force, Whoa Dave, Moon Chronicles, Steamroll Dig, which I already mentioned, you can get either the Wii U or the 3DS version of that. And there's also some mystery games in there as well that they are going to announce on, I believe, Tuesday. But Nintendo already kind of spilled the beans on that one a little bit too. There was a page on their eShop and revealing a few of the other games. Like one was The Swapper, which is another one that Curve Studios brought over to the Wii U. And that was, when that information kind of got leaked, that was kind of what pushed me over the edge, and I went on to Humble Bundle and synced up my PayPal and went ahead and threw in $10. A lot of these games I already own. And it looks like, as I was looking through my emails when I bought the game, it looks like what they're going to do is give away, like once you pitch in, you're able to...
Well, you can transfer those, or you can trade with
right.
other people.
And it looks like you're going to be able to do that with the Nintendo version too. It looks like it's going to give you a download code and you can give that away. And I probably will. So if there's any games that you guys want, or, some of the, like, the Wii U stuff, I'll probably just read off the codes on the air, and whoever gets them, gets them.
Nice.
Because, yeah, I'll keep the games that I don't have and the ones I do have, like Guacamelee and The Fall, I'll just give away. Mm-hmm. So, and the last little bit of news. This was kind of a funny thing that that happened over the past month. There's a Wii U quote-unquote game that kind of an application, I don't even know how you describe it, but it is something that you can download and install on your Wii U. And you take your little amiibo figures and you put them onto your gamepad, use the near field communication, and it unlocks retro games. But not the full versions of them. What it does is it unlocks, say, 8 different 3-minute sections of Super Mario World. And you play through those sections, see how far you can get. And as far as I know, there's like no like scorekeeping or record keeping, like how far you've gotten, but it's it feels a lot like a commercial for downloading full versions of these retro games on the eShop and the Virtual Console. And also you need to have like all these different amiibos to unlock them all, so you have to buy these figurines to unlock snippets of retro games, which then of course you have to buy the full versions of later. It's all a little bit
a shell game.
Yeah, a bit of a shell game, that's a good way to describe it. And it's the amiibo that you have. Like I have a Toon Link amiibo, I have a Samus amiibo, and I have a Yoshi amiibo. If I were to use one of them in this application, I wouldn't necessarily get a Metroid, a Zelda, and a Yoshi themed game or a Mario themed game. I could get anything. I could get like fucking Wrecking Crew or some shit.
Oh, it's just a complete random.
Yeah, it's just a random draw.
Here's this.
Yeah, so if you spend a lot of time. Like, if you only have a Mario amiibo and you really love Mario games and you just want to play a little snippets of Mario World, you tap your amiibo on there, you might not get Mario. You might get the original Metroid game, which is damn near unplayable. So...
Well, I think we talked... I don't even remember how it came up, but I think we talked a little while ago about how cool it would be if there was a WarioWare-style game that spanned across all of Nintendo's properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like short bursts of all of the little mini-games that you could play all at once?
Yeah.
It sounds like this is a really shitty version of that.
Yeah, a little bit. And, you know, it would be... What would be really cool is if it were just, like, NES and Super Nintendo games, and it could even, like, it could be short snippets of it, it could be the full version, doesn't matter. And what you do is you take your Toon Link amiibo and you tap it into Mario World, and all of a sudden you're playing through Mario World as Link with all of Link's like skills. So he can't jump, so it might be unplayable as Link, but you can like go around and like hack at Koopas and stuff.
Well, there was a web game that did something similar to that,
yeah.
Where you could play, I think, as Samus and
Mega Man. I think you played as Mega Man.
Yeah,
and people have done that sort of thing. It'd just be kind of cool to see Nintendo do that kind of thing. And they did like similar stuff to that in NES Remix, so it's not a totally unprecedented idea for them to do that sort of thing. But it just kind of seemed like the easy way out. But the fact that this game exists was not the actual piece of news. The piece of news is Nintendo hijacked everyone's Wii U's and went ahead and installed this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when it first came out, it was like you had to go into the eShop, and you know, you found it, you downloaded it, you were making a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of took this thing and they threw it onto everyone's Wii U. And like, here you go, you have this now. And probably like the more compulsive people in the world are probably like, well, I have it, I should try it. I only have 2 amiibos, maybe I should go buy more so I can play a few more of these games. And it's a really, what's the opposite of sneaky? It's a really blatant way of saying like, hey, this exists, buy more stuff.
Yeah.
So... Anyway, it just seems strange. But that is all the news that I wanted to talk about. You guys got anything? Cool.
I feel like we should have something. We're really 15 minutes into this.
I mean,
half of that was dicking around.
That's just the news thing. So I mean,
it's fine. I mean, we can have a slow news month. I mean, next month we're probably going to have a lot of news to talk about because of
E3.
Okay. But let's take a short break and then move on to some of the new games.
Sweet.
So we got quite a few new games to talk about. It's probably going to be the bulk of the show here. So
there were
a bunch of new releases. First up, I'm going to talk about Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor 2 Record Breaker.
It needs more words.
It needs more words. Super Soaker Ultra Demon Hat Trick.
Hyper Fighting Edition. Hyper
Fighting Edition. Ritual of the Night.
Ritual of the Night.
So this came out on the 3DS back on May 5th. This is a party-based strategy RPG featuring the Shin Megami Tensei demon characters as well as battle system. So it's a party-based strategy RPG not unlike how you described Ogre Battle.
Oh, okay.
Back on a Super Nintendo, how you have like your unit that you're moving around on the grid, but then once that unit enters battle, it becomes like a party.
Yeah.
And you're all having like you all have your own skills and your ways of attacking. Mm-hmm. So like that description I just gave, it's grid based. You have your kind of your avatar, your human character moves around on this grid. It's turn taking, but it's not like Fire Emblem where you move all your units and then all of the enemy units move. It's more like Final Fantasy X where there's a HUD on the screen that shows you who's moving next. So you can kind of use that to try to take out enemies that are going to be moving before the rest of your units and eliminate their turns that way. So you got that layer of strategy to it. Then when you're actually entering the battle, it becomes a first-person RPG-style battle where you're going through menus, you're selecting commands, you're using magic. I don't think you're using items. I think you're just you're selecting from different types of attacks. You have physical attacks, fire attacks, those sort of like seasonal elemental stuff, lightning, wind, ice, go planet, all that stuff.
Rinse, repeat.
Yep. So what it does is it has those RPG battles, but you don't play it out until the battle ends. Everyone in the battle takes one turn, and then the battle's over. You go back out to the grid screen. Another unit takes its turn. There are ways in standard Shin Megami Tensei style of increasing the amount of turns you can have in battle. What you can do is you can use those elemental alignments to give characters extra turns. If your enemy is weak to lightning, you use a lightning attack, you'll gain yourself an extra turn. If your enemy begins a battle already with an extra turn, which is kind of based on their speed stat, you can use an attack to eliminate their extra turn and bring it over to you. So there's quite a bit of strategy involved with...
Is it like team building stuff too? Like,
yeah.
Your own characters synergize well together?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a couple of different levels to that because you have your character and their party of demons. Demons are your sub-characters. You have a... There's the superstructure, the macro level of the game where you're on the grid. There's four characters on that. And each one of those four characters can have two demons with them, which are on the micro level in the actual battles. And what you can do is you can match up demons that either compensate for your weaknesses as the human character, or you can just like super specialize. You can have like the one character and give him a couple demons that all focus a lot on like electrical attacks, that kind of thing. And then... So you have like your synergy with your demons that way. And then like back on the macro level, you can have these sort of conversations, not unlike like support conversations in Fire Emblem, where you have characters that talk to each other, and if you're able to build up your relationship enough with the other human characters, it will actually add extra attributes to them. Like it will make them like instead of like being like weak to lightning or neutral lightning, it'll actually make them resistant to lightning.
Okay.
So it has that sort of like dating sim aspect to it, to where you're responding to them in certain ways and building up your relationship that way. And those don't actually take place in the battle. That takes place outside the battle, which is the most outer layer to this game.
Do you recruit a team or how do you get new characters?
So human characters are added just based on story. You get more human characters and each of them have like their own strengths and weaknesses, different types of attacks. Then demons you recruit, as I drop my pen, demons you recruit by going to the auction house, which is outside of battle. And which demons you can recruit in the auction house will depend on how far you are in the game and how many levels you've gone up, that kind of stuff. So demons that you require in the auction house, you can either, it's like eBay, you can pay like a buy it now price if that's available, or you can auction against these other computer like simulated characters. And it's not like an auction where the price keeps going up. What you have to do is
it's like a blind auction. You just put in a bid, and if you hit it, then you hit it.
It's sort of a blind auction. It'll tell you generally what that demon goes for, and then it will tell you what sort of mood the other auctioneers are in. Like if they're like really aggressive bidders, it will let you know. If they're kind of shying away from them, it'll like give you a different sort of emoticon, and that will kind of inform you to how high you should go with the bid. And like, because if everyone's bidding super aggressively, you don't want to spend all your money on that demon. You can just say, fuck it, I bid one gold and move on. Then you recruit your team, different members of your team that way, and all your demons level up with you like an RPG, but they don't level up as fast as you. And the ways to keep your crew, your demons, leveled up with you is to fuse them together.
Okay.
And by fusing them together, you get more powerful demons with different skills that have levels that more equate your own. So
there's that sort of and this game sounds a lot like Ogre Battle, but in Ogre Battle they would have actual like evolution trees where you would start off with a knight and they would eventually become like a paladin or some other kind of warrior.
Yeah.
Is it the same way? Like you merge them together so that they form different kinds of demons?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And like if you played a Shin Megami Tensei game before, you'll recognize a lot of the demons. They use the same ones. So it'll kind of give you an idea, if you're really familiar with this stuff, who you can be recruiting and who you're fusing together. In order to make certain demons, if there's certain demons you want to use. What the game kind of lacks is a sort of encyclopedia, like a Pokedex for these demons. So you can tell if you have gotten all of like the sort of base demons, like the lowest level stuff, and then how fusing them together is kind of dispersing the pool. Because sometimes fusing demon A and demon B will make demon C, but then also fusing demon A with another demon A will make the same demon. So, and you know, you can take like demon E and demon F and it still makes demon C. But then if you take demon C and fuse it with demon E, it makes something totally new. So,
is there some kind of like good evil alignment with all of this? Or, I mean, because you said so there's demons and humans. I mean, is there any conflict of interest?
Humans
there?
Control the demons.
Mm-hmm. I mean, demon
puppets.
It's real Japanese in that the demon doesn't necessarily mean it's evil. It's just like a sort of supernatural monster.
Oh, okay.
Rather than, you know, the minions of Satan. As usually, like, that's usually how we use the word demon.
Oh, so it's not about
Western.
That?
No, it's this game is not about taking over Japan for
Man.
Satan.
Okay,
all
right.
Why don't they have a game like that yet?
Taking over Japan for Satan?
Yeah. I don't know why. That sounds like a game they won't have made.
I don't know. I mean, make it.
Yeah.
Wes is going to have a Kickstarter soon. So,
it's going to be taking over countries with a opposing deity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take over Asia with...
sounds good.
You're going to make Genghis Khan.
Yep.
You're going to make Genghis Khan.
Well, Genghis Khan can't take over Asia because he's from Asia. So Genghis Khan's got to take over like the U.S. or something ridiculous.
Fine.
Like that.
Fine. Whatever. I don't care. Just make me another one of those games. So me and Jeremy can talk about it for 2 hours again.
And I can take a nap during the podcast.
Yep. You absolutely can. But yeah, that pretty well covers it. The game has a ton of depth. There's so many layers to it. It can be a little bit intimidating if you're unacquainted with this, and you know, without that sort of encyclopedia to help guide you and help kind of track your progress about what you fused and what you might have missed. So like going back and reacquiring lower level demons that you've already fused can still be beneficial. Without a way to track that, the barrier of entry can be a little bit high, but the battles are pretty fun. They're not quite as strategic as say something like Fire Emblem, but the individual like the individual battles between like the RPG battle types are strategic enough to keep it interesting. So let's move on.
One last time with that title though. Shin Megami Tensei.
Devil Survivor 2.
Devil Survivor 2.
Record Breaker.
Record Breaker.
Nope. It needs a subtitle to Devil Survivor 2 because there's a remake of Devil Survivor 2, which came out on the DS back in 2011. It's a remake of a 4-year-old game.
Huh. Okay.
I mean, It's a little strange that they're remaking a game that's only 4 years old, but Atlas, the publisher of this game, does that kind of stuff.
This has been an episode of amazing titles, by the way.
It really has. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, Record Breaker 2, Devil Survivor, or I reverse that. Doesn't matter. So, let's save Splatoon for a few minutes more into this. Let me just blast through a couple of other these ones really quick. Stretchmo came out on the 3DS eShop back on the 14th. You can download it for free, or rather you can download the tutorial levels for free and then pay $10 for the whole game, or you can buy it in chunks. This is a lot like Pushmo, so if you played Pushmo, you're pretty well acquainted with it. But instead of just pushing blocks and arranging your puzzles that way, moving them in different directions will cause them to expand or stretch, hence Stretchmo. I was going to get this game, like it seemed interesting enough, and I like Pushmo, but then I realized I still have Crashmo on my 3DS, which is the sequel to Pushmo, and I have not played it yet. So why am I going to buy another game in the series if I haven't even touched the previous one?
That's fair enough.
Yep. Swords and Soldiers 2 came out on the Wii U on the 21st. This one has one that I've put a bit of time into. It's a line defense game that masquerades as a real-time strategy. And I think they try to market it as a real-time strategy, but it's line defense. So there's some real-time strategy elements to this game. There's a little bit of resource management. You have your gold and you have your mana, which is basically what you use to use special abilities. There's no like base building. There's like some really light stuff. You can like build a guard tower, but that really has more to do with like the defense aspects of the game rather than defending a base. And there's no, like, you can't hoard your troops so that you can have, like, a coordinated attack. So what happens is, like in a line defense game, is you have your base, and then all the way to the right, on the other end of the screen, there's your enemy base, and you want to destroy their base. But their base is just one structure. So you are sending your workers to the gold mine, which is just a couple inches away. They're bringing back money. You use that money to buy troops, and once you build the troop, it immediately starts marching toward the enemy base. And there's like a couple of like little branching paths and hills that you can choose the route they go. But what you can't do is decide, all right, I want to build 5 of this unit and 2 healers and like 6 ranged units and send them all together. Once you build them, they start going. And you can try to coordinate, like you can build a lot of units at once. Like you can build like a tank unit, you can build a range unit, you can build a healer, and like a standard grunt unit, and have them kind of go out together. But if you want to have multiple kinds of the same unit, it's going to be really hard to group them so that you have a well-coordinated attack. It's a lot of it just becomes more about continuously pumping out troops and overwhelming the enemy lines so that you can destroy their base. So it does have some RTS elements to it. It has tech trees, so you can like do research on stuff and unlock different types of units and different types of powers. It has like unit types, like I mentioned before, that have their advantages and disadvantages. And it has superpowers, which I've mentioned a couple times before. And basically those are your, I guess to make the Command and Conquer illusion, those are like your nuclear missiles or your ion cannons, things that don't, like, they're powers that don't really come from units. You just kind of summon them in as the sort of god of the game. And
love the ion cannon.
Yeah, it was nice. Command and Conquer was so good.
I love that ion cannon. Just
boop. I looked for Command and Conquer on Good Old Games to see if I could just download it, like, for $5. I couldn't find it. It was really disappointing.
Yeah. I had Mech Commander 2 for my computer.
That's awesome. I love Mech Commander. Why didn't they keep going with the Mech Commander series? Yeah, I know. One's like really like, you can't play it if you have anything
I have
older
Windows
than
Windows XP computer.
Yeah, you can't use Mech
Commander.
You
can't do it. No. It has to be Windows 98.
Does it actually go up to 98?
Yeah, it goes up to 98.
Yeah.
If you have XP, too much for this shit. Just can't do it.
I think it was like made for like Windows 95.
Yeah.
And Windows 98 could run it, but then once they got up to XP, they're like, that's a Windows 95 game. Fuck that shit. Like, why are you doing this?
Why would you do this? Because it's amazing?
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you
want
to just keep playing Mech Commander
to? It's amazing.
Over and over again?
Mech Commander 1 was great.
Were you obsessive like I was about training your pilots in a specific way so they max out all their stats?
I was not.
I would
just keep throwing particular pilots in particular things. Like long shot always had to go in capitals. Just throw a long shot.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or like Earl Hollander.
Yeah.
Just someone with a big cannon on his back.
Yeah.
We're getting real inside baseball with Met coming
over
here.
Yeah.
We're gonna do it though. I would like to take like those beginning pilots who had absolutely no jump jet skills, because they're your beginning pilots, you don't get jump jets until like halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And once I got jump jets, I would spend a half hour just making them jump from point to point to just grind experience to max out that stat.
Oh, my God.
It was pointless. It was stupid. And a lot of times, especially when they have, like, zero jump jet skills, they would jump in the mechs and then just immediately fall over, which was hilarious. But, yeah, God, that game was...
Jump jets were my favorite. I used to just make full squads, just everybody has to have a jump jet.
Well, yeah, eventually it's totally worth it. It just helps your mobility.
Yeah. You're just all over the place.
But, God, there was that one mission. It's like pretty early in the game, and it was your first opportunity to ever get a Mad Cat.
Yep.
But it was right at the end. And yep. There were times where I had to play that mission over and over again to sell it.
You have to.
You cannot
miss.
You gotta
get this Mad Cat.
It's the best mech in the game. It's so good.
It's so good. And I think that was the same mission with a Hollander in it.
It might have been.
It's the first mission with a Hollander.
Or was it the mission with the Raven? Because I had the big sensors.
I know, maybe both.
Okay.
Because I remember a Hollander. Actually, I think I remember using a Hollander to get the Mad Cat.
I remember there was a mission. The mission where it's the Hollander was one that's fairly early on. At that point, you're just kind of using your like your fire starter, like your really basic mechs.
In Met Commander 1, the Hollander was freaking amazing.
It was terrifying because it's just like walking slowly down the road and it's got this huge howitzer on its back.
That thing was amazing. In Met Commander 2, they're like, here's 30 Hollanders. They're going to explode in seconds somebody sneezes on them.
Yeah.
They were terrible in Met Commander 2. They were like the best. Like, I would have like an army of Hollanders and just snipe everybody. It was great.
Yeah, you put your best gunner in the Hollander. And
which, that's what kind of happened with the Mad Cat. I kept on like killing it wrong with the Hollander or something like that.
Mm.
It's not kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was one of the things about that game, was that there were ways you could specifically target parts of the mechs, but really early on, when it mattered most that you want to salvage these things and increase your army,
your guys' skills are so low it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you'd be like, target the thing on the back that makes the pilot eject so I can salvage this thing. Target the back, and it's like, okay, we'll shoot the arm. Damn it, guys, damn it. All right, have we covered enough of Mech Commander?
Mech Commander 2, you can salvage them mid-mission.
That's true. Yes.
That was amazing. I thought that was the coolest thing they implemented.
Is that it? Have we mined this for all it's worth for now? Until we do a show dedicated entirely to...
I think we should actually maybe do a show dedicated to Mech Commander.
We're going to need to find a way to play it again.
Oh, yeah. I can play Mech Commander 2 on my computer. This is Mech Commander 1. I can't really do
it. I got to find a way to play Mech Commander 1.
Find a way that we can download it online.
Hey, DOSBox.
Huh?
Could you edit the DOSBox?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look at that. Okay, so
I'm going online.
There's a couple of other Wii U eShop games that came out. This is going to do rapid fire. High Strangeness came out on the 6th. Speaking of crazy titles, Ultratron, which also sounds amazing, came out on the 14th. And Don't Starve Giant Edition came out as well. This one came out on the 28th. And actually, this one has a cool little promotion to where if you buy it, you get another copy for free that you can just give away.
Oh, nice.
I did buy it. I'm about to give away the other copy, so listen up, everybody. Here is the code for a free copy of Don't Starve Giant Edition. A08P022H031X6W3S. Go get it. Let's talk about Splatoon. Because, Wes, you've played it, now that you're staring at your phone.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. I'm always hesitant about downloading stuff online because last time I did try to do a Minecraft update for Pixelmon, hit the wrong button and downloaded a Trojan horse.
Oh.
And that took me like a week to fix. Oh. So it was just super annoying. Mm. It's just dumb ads all over the place. I'm like, I hate this thing so much. Mm. But I may have found it already. But
okay.
Whatever. Splatoon.
Yes.
Wonderful game.
Indeed.
I think it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's... A first-person shooter that's kind of chill.
Third
person. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's third person. Why I say first?
Yeah, and it's just about acquiring territory.
Yeah,
it's just paint the ground.
It's just a chill game. Just kind of like doing your thing.
It doesn't ever feel super frustrating when you lose. A lot of times because you can blame your teammates.
Yeah.
Like, God, this guy only painted 300 square feet. What's wrong with him?
Now, the one time I got frustrated at the enemy team was a sniper. Someone who actually knew how to use that fucking gun. Mm.
Yeah.
It just kept me in a corner and I couldn't get out. Kept on going to that side and kept on killing me over and over and over again.
Did you try going to a different place?
No, because I want to kill this fucking sniper. I mean, that's not the point, John. You don't give up.
I mean, you know, it would be kind of cool if you could kind of coordinate with your team members. Like, hey, this guy is just standing here sniping. I'm just going to keep going there and dying just to distract him. And you guys just go ahead and take care of the rest of the territory. Just to kind of keep that guy grounded. Because when you're a sniper, the disadvantage of being a sniper is you are not covering much territory.
You're not doing shit.
You're basically there. You're just suppression. You're trying to keep the enemies kind of back in their own area as much as possible. And there are quite a few maps that we played that don't really have high areas, like high ground that are worth sniping off of at choke points. So it's a gun that's tough to use. I mean, and when you're in the heat of battle and like there's three people around you, you're not going to get a shot off with the sniper gun. It takes too long to load. So this game, it's primarily about that online play. What they do is they just have two maps available, and then every couple of hours they rotate them out for two other maps. So you're generally playing the same two maps for a good portion of the play session, unless you're playing for hours and hours and hours. But I when I got the game, I immediately went online. There is a single player mode that I haven't touched yet, but I immediately went online and it worked really well for about an hour and a half, and then I stopped playing. And then when we were playing tonight, we had a video for the babies streaming on the computer. My wife was streaming something on her computer, her laptop, and then we were playing Splatoon online and it ran completely smoothly.
Oh yeah.
There are absolutely no issues with
that. I was impressed actually with that, because usually the Wii doesn't have that great multiplayer online. Mm-hmm. It's just all finicky and everything like that, but they really have improved it with the Wii U.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Smash Brothers works online. Mario Kart was good on the Wii for online. But yeah, the Wii U, even though it doesn't have very many online experiences, they've all been pretty solid so far. So the matches are only about 3 minutes, which is fine. I think that works really well, especially with like the rotation that they use for the maps. So you're playing a map for 3 minutes, and then it switches you up probably to the other map that you can play. I think 3 minutes is a good time to spend in this game, because it's enough time to where if you're getting dominated, you don't have to suffer through it for very long.
Yeah, well, you can figure out the winner pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it's not too tedious to sit there when you know that you're pretty much getting worked.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you're getting worked like that, you can also just say, okay, these guys pretty much well have us. Let me just go around and try to grind some experience. So you just start to ignore them. You take your deaths when your deaths come. And you just try to
pay as much as you can.
Yeah, because that's how you gain experience, and that's how you level up and access more weapons, is by just covering territory.
Well, there are other multiplayer modes that you can get into. I noticed the one that you were playing was basically just cover as much paint, or cover as much turf as you can with the paint, with your paint, and cover your opponents.
There are other multiplayer modes coming. What they're doing is they're kind of doing a slow rollout. And over the next couple months, they'll basically unlock other modes. Like, one of them that they've talked about a couple of times is a mode where basically, instead of painting the whole territory, there's this one small box that you want to control for as long as possible by painting it.
Like a King of the Hill style.
Yeah, like a King of the Hill style, exactly. Then there's another mode where basically there's this mobile tower. I suppose it would start in the middle. I don't think they've talked about where it starts. But what you need to do is you need to get to the top of it. And once you get to the top, it starts moving back toward your base. And you need to ride it all the way back to your base.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, so having a sniper gun there would probably be a nice advantage.
I think the other one than the one we buy would be a little bit better. I mean, it had a lower mobility and had a lower charge.
Yeah, because you wouldn't need mobility.
But its range was stupid.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept on seeing a lot of people use it, was that one.
Mm-hmm. So I think like just for like the basic mode, the roller has worked out best for me, especially just trying to grind experience. It's a good way just to farm a bunch, because you're covering a lot of territory with it.
It also seems a little less competitive. It's not so much. It looks like you can avoid your, you can still be functional on the team and contribute while avoiding the conflict, the fight.
Although it is really funny to run somebody over that roller and kill them.
Yeah.
That is a good time.
What's also really funny is when you see someone running at you with a roller and you just go ahead and charge right for them. Dude, it's mutually assured destruction, but it's hilarious. It's like this really terrible game of chicken where you know no one is going to move. But, you know, the roller, when you get into close situations, it's basically an instant kill. You run over someone and they die. But I think people, like when I was first playing last night, I was dominating pretty well with the roller, but it didn't take people too long to sort of figure out how to deal with a roller. They just kind of try to back up as quickly as possible and shoot while they're backing up. But, you know, shooting the guns, I don't know, man. Those twin stick controls, they've never sat well with me, ever, for any game. I think that...
Well, I haven't played a shooter like that in forever, so I'm rusty as hell with that kind of stuff.
I think that the target reticule could stand to be bigger, so you know where your gun's... Because when, like, paint is being splattered around like crazy, it's sometimes hard to figure out where exactly you're shooting. Mm. That's a problem that I've run into with the guns. But... You know, some people have seemed to manage to figure it out.
I'm surprised how high levels we've come across. Because this game out yesterday, and we played against a freaking level 18.
Yeah, they must have been playing nonstop the whole time.
Dear God.
Because it takes so much experience. Like, just to get from level 6 to 7, I think takes 7,000 experience, which means you have to cover 7.
I mean, we leveled up once in, like, the hour we were playing it, and we only basically did half level. We finished off, like, your half. That's all we did.
What are, like, teams of people trying to... Like, I mean, I remember this is a weird words, but, like, when Diablo 2 Lord of Destruction came out, there was a race to see who could have the first level 100 character. And it was done in, like, 36 hours.
Goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, it was a team of people playing 24-7 that were all designed to rush this one character through everything.
Oh, yeah, okay. So they're tagging out. Yeah. Like, one person would play for, like, 9 hours, and someone else would come in.
Yeah, you'd have a huge team of people working to level up one character. I mean, gotcha. I don't know if people are that serious about it, but maybe that's what's happening.
I don't know. Maybe I don't think there's, like, some sort of grand prize. Right now, the pool of weapons that you can purchase get unlocked per level, and the last one is level 20. Maybe they'll add more once you're able to break the 20 level limit. Maybe the 20 level limit is permanent. Maybe it's temporary. Maybe it's not even a limit right now. Maybe you can go past 20, but there's no incentive to do so just now. I would actually be surprised if it is the level limit, but what I expect right now is that it's capped at 20, and then once they unlock more guns, they'll move the cap. Mm. If they do decide to have more guns. That way, you know, you don't have someone who gets up to level 50 and then just can immediately purchase all the new guns.
So pretty much we found three different kinds of guns so far. There's the regular rapid fire shoot everywhere.
Yeah, just your splatter shot.
There is the sniper gun, which is a big charge shoot in a straight line shot. And then there's the paint roller.
Yep.
And then you have like little grenades you can do.
Yeah, you got your secondary, like you have your bomb weapon.
Yep.
So it's going to be a grenade, or like there's a pain balloon that one of them has. And then you have your special, which charges up based on how much territory you've covered.
Which, for one of the rollers, there's a really cool one called the Kraken, which apparently there is a way to kill people while you're in that Kraken mode, because it got me a couple times. But you're pretty much invulnerable, and you're this big giant squid just paying where you're flying or whatever.
You don't paint as much as you do with the roller, but no. You kind of leave a trail behind you, yeah.
Yeah. And then
I think it's kind of a cheat, though, because when you think of squid, you think of ink. You don't think of paint. And paint and ink are two entirely different things.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I think when they were first, like, pitching the game, back when they announced it at E3, they were kind of like, yeah, you're spreading your ink around. And I think it just kind of, the vernacular kind of just evolved into paint. Because the participle painting is a lot easier to communicate your idea rather than inking.
Oh, like getting tattoos or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we digress.
There is a map on the gamepad screen, which is excellent. It kind of charts your progress and lets you know how you're doing.
John loves maps.
I do love maps. Can't live without them. No voice chat, which is unfortunate, but it doesn't seem to break the game. If there were people using voice chat, it's
hard. Mostly talking about 12-year-olds cursing you out.
I mean, I don't want 12-year-olds cursing.
Well, hearing the language you guys use when you play the game, I wouldn't want to hear you talk.
It's understandable.
You know.
The other side of that is...
Cockback.
The other side of it, just fucking mute it.
That's true. It's just,
does it leave other people at maybe a disadvantage who don't want to tolerate the immature shouting of people like me and Wes? Sure. It leaves it at a disadvantage.
I mean, this is a team match you're playing in a shooter, but it's not like Counter-Strike.
Right.
It's not like you're organizing offenses and pushes and
right.
really needing to engage in that much of a dialogue
yeah,
that you're playing with.
And in 3 minutes, you can't really formulate a complex strategy in this game just based on the map layouts and based on the time. You got 3 minutes to do it. So the lack of voice chat doesn't break the game. Would it be cool if the option was there? Yes, it would. But it's not, and the game is still definitely worth playing without
it. I didn't see you guys when you were playing it use them, but are there like text commands you can give?
There were. I haven't experimented with too much, but there you can use the D-pad. Up and down on the D-pad has. They're not even text commands. I think it's just like cheers or taunts.
Oh, okay.
They're not. It doesn't seem to like.
Quick look.
Tell everyone to like rally near you or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anything else that you want to say about Splatoon before we move on? Cool. Let's move on. Then the last game I'm going to talk about is Puzzle & Dragon Z and Puzzle & Dragon Super Mario Edition that came out on the 3DS on the 22nd. I played through the demo. I haven't gotten the full version yet, so I'm kind of waiting to weed through a couple of other games that I want to finish up before buying another one. It's it is similar to other Match 3 puzzle games in that you are there's a puzzle screen and you are matching colors together in order to eliminate them. Eliminating colors then has one of your characters on the top screen perform an attack in an RPG battle. You've seen this before. There's not much new going on here. If you've played, say, Pokemon Shuffle on the 3DS, it's you kind of know what you're getting into. But there's a key difference in Puzzle & Dragon. It's that it's not a one-to-one swap. If you want to swap a red orb with a blue orb, it's not just going to cleanly swap the two of them. What you're doing is you're picking up and dragging the orb that you want to swap, and you're dragging it over to the position you want to put it in, and everything in your trail is going to shift back. So in a standard match 3, where it's just a clean one-to-one swap, you can use that to sort of set up combos. Like if there's two greens over here and three and four reds over here, and swapping a couple of them will eliminate both stacks, you can set up a chain reaction. And this one, in Puzzle & Dragon, it's a little bit more complicated to set up a chain reaction, but if you can manage it, you can set off a lot of fireworks, because as you're dragging one piece around, you might be setting off combinations before you even get to that piece's destination. So, in the demo, it doesn't let you do certain things that you can do in the game, like set up parties, and you can set up your RPG parties, and characters will have different types of skills. Some of the skills will restore your HP. Some of the skills will change all of the red orbs into blue and allow you to set up a lot of combinations that way.
Are the colors arbitrary, or do they actually feed into what your characters do?
They have elemental attributes, like in an RPG, and like a piranha plant might be weak to fire. So setting up a lot of fire orbs would give you an advantage. And the demo has basically a couple of, like, 4 easy levels and 4 hard levels and nothing in between. And the hard levels, if you're not using a lot of those character skills really liberally, it's really difficult to get through them. So it's a game that seems pretty cool. I'm kind of waiting for the slower months, maybe June, July, August. If we're not getting a whole lot of releases, maybe I'll pick it up and talk about it a little bit more. But yeah, it's another Match 3 puzzle game, which there are plenty of out there in the world. So I'm not missing it too much.
Wait, do you get both versions if you buy it?
Yes. $30 you get Puzzle & Dragon Z and Puzzle & Dragon Super Mario Edition.
Okay.
So let's bring this section to a close with some stuff that came out on the Virtual Console. On the Wii U, we got Paper Mario for the N64, New Super Mario Bros. For the DS, Super Earth Defense Force for the Super Nintendo, and a bunch of Mega Man games, because it was Mega Man, like a bunch of Mega Man Battle Network games came out, and a couple of Mega Man Zero games came out. But this is pretty much all about the Wii U. There weren't a whole lot of, if any, 3DS Virtual Console games that are worth talking about. So let's take another break and then come back with some E3 stuff.
So what do you think is your favorite weapon in Mech Commander?
Stop it. You stop it right
was
now.
Was it like the long-range missiles or the Gauss rifle?
No, it was clearly the, what was it, the PPC?
The PPC and the, there was one with an S. I forget what it's called.
It's the longer-range one. There's like the PPC and like the maybe it's just the extended PPC or something.
These things were amazing.
But yeah, that was like just like particle energy like shooting forth. It wasn't a laser because it wasn't shitty. But God, how did you get me on this tangent? Fuck you. So E3 is in a couple of weeks. Are you excited?
You betcha.
I'm excited.
I can't wait.
You don't seem excited.
I'm so excited, I'm exhausted.
Get excited.
Oh my God.
So, this E3, Nintendo has announced their plans. They're, of course, doing their digital event at 9 a.m. Pacific time on June 16th, which is, of course, noon Eastern time. I have taken the day off of work. I take this very seriously, Wes.
Oh my God.
But you know what? I don't take as seriously. There's going to be Mario Maker demos at Best Buy's. I am not going to that. I didn't go to it last year. I don't feel like I missed out on anything.
I mean, what is this? This isn't like a new Zelda release, which I'm sure you're going to take a day off work when the new one comes out. There.
No question. Maybe a week. I might take a week off work when that comes out.
Off work. I can't use my vacation time.
Yes. Yes. And
family
this
never died.
Well, no, I'm not going to lie about it. Well, actually.
It's like, no, it's your new child is born.
When a family member dies in the company I work for, they do give you time off that is not paid time off that does not come out of your vacation time. So I would not have to use my vacation time for that. If I wanted to lie about a family member dying.
Holy crap.
I don't think I would
do that. That's bad karma.
Yeah. So.
Make it like a second cousin or something like that.
No one gives a shit if your second cousin dies. Unless that's also your wife.
I'm just going to let that one sit.
Things have gotten weird. Things got weird. They're also doing another Treehouse Live event at E3, so they're going to be streaming games all through E3 as members of their Treehouse crew and developers of the game kind of play through portions of the games that they are bringing to E3. And then also the Nintendo World Championships are returning. For the first time in 25 years, they're going to do a Nintendo World Champions, and the conclusion of those will be at E3. I don't know what they're playing. I did not research this, but it's happening.
Good job being prepared for the podcast, John.
I mean,
goddamn,
I didn't care that much.
So there's a thing. Is this like what the Wizard was about?
Yeah, it's like what the Wizard was about.
They're seriously bringing that back.
Yeah, they're bringing it back.
Oh God, I hope Fred Savage is involved.
God, that would be so good. And actually, I do think...
Oh, and Bo Bridges, he's still alive.
Is he? Is he? And actually, Fred Savage, like, this part I did know about.
Christian Slater's in it, too. This could be great. Jenny Lewis, she's got a band now, man. This could be a great opportunity to get everybody back together.
Fred Savage actually did tweet out that he wanted to be involved in some way.
Nice.
Expressing, like, he used different words, but he expressed the desire to be involved in some
wink,
way.
Wink, wink, cough, cough, Nintendo.
Yeah, send him an invitation. Fly him out. He'll take a break from directing Always Sunny in Philadelphia to go to the Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah.
So... this E3 in general, I think, has to be a pretty big one for the 3DS. We do not have much confirmation for any 3DS games outside of Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, which
I know you're
excited about. There's also an Animal Crossing, probably downloadable coming, Animal Crossing.
Oh my God.
Happy Home Designers, I think it's called.
I can't wait.
And there's also an Etrian Odyssey game, Etrian Odyssey 2, a remake of Etrian Odyssey 2, which is another game that's only 6 years old, but... this is what Atlas does. And I think that one's...
Wes is fanning himself right now.
I know, he's so excited.
I do declare.
I think that needs to be on my text message. It's a terrible accent. But I think that Etrian Odyssey Untold 2 just got announced today for August, as an August release. So that's not really a second half of the year kind of thing. But as far as 3DS games that I would like to see, I mean, another Advance Wars would be great.
That'd be pretty fun to have.
Yeah. I know that Wes, that's another one he'd be excited
about. Edge of my seat.
If we could get him Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Animal Crossing, and Advance Wars, God, he
I
would...
I do believe I feel the vapors.
Better. Better. But yeah, it's...
I believe you have the vapors.
Is that what the line is?
Yes, no, feel the vapors. What is that? You're like saying
in
a sauna?
I have no idea. I'm trying to remember what the Futurama quote is. I can't remember all of them perfectly.
Why could a TV have fish app on the top and a lady app on the bottom? was that the episode you were quoting?
Yes. Thank you.
Bravely Default 2 would be cool if we got confirmation for localization of that. There are a couple of announced Dragon Quest games, which I would probably buy and then hate myself for playing, but yeah. I would do it so they could get some money out of me there.
I'm sure they'll have long titles.
let's hope so.
Every time I think of Dragon Quest, it makes me think of Mark from
In Motion.
From In Motion.
God, what a turd that guy was. I hope he listens.
He sends you a very sad text at like 3 in the morning. John, I thought we were pals.
It would come up as number unknown because I deleted his phone number. Actually, before I quit there, I deleted his phone number because I knew it was quitting.
That's cutthroat.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. So, I think that the 3DS really needs a solid lineup because we don't know much of anything, and it's unlikely that they will be releasing new hardware pretty soon. So, I'm expecting pretty good things from the 3DS. As far as the Wii U goes, we'll probably see a lot of the usual suspects. Mario Maker.
Skyrim. Okay. Dextown.
Okay.
So, there you go, guys.
We'll see Mario Maker, Yoshi's Woolly World, Xenoblade, Star Fox, a lot of the ones that they had talked about last year. We might even see some of Fatal Frame, which got announced as coming to the West a few months ago.
That's
cool. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about that. And it's funny because it is a franchise that I did not give a shit about back in like the PS2 and the GameCube days. But since game releases have kind of slowed down to a trickle, I'm dabbling in these other franchises that I never...
I think it's a really fun genre for video games. Mm-hmm. Or just underexplored, I think.
I mean, especially like a game like Fatal Frame where there is almost no combat involved.
Yeah, that's fantastic about it.
It's not like a Resident Evil where, you know, you have your line of defense and one of the objectives is to go around and kill zombies. But it's a game where things are really dangerous because you don't have that line of defense. Also, we'll probably see more of Devil's Third, which is a game that got announced last year, and Art Academy, which is announced as coming out in Europe. We'll probably get a release date for that in North America. And there was a really mysterious game that got talked about in a Nintendo Direct back in January. It was called Project Treasure, and it was announced, Bandai Namco announced it, and it was announced as a 4-player online free-to-play game. And all they showed with it was like a character, like a Brady Bunch style character box, except it was just characters' eyes. Really super vague about what this thing is. But they decided to take like 2 minutes out of their Nintendo Direct and mention that it existed. So maybe we'll see some of that as well. It'd be cool to see what Retro is up to. Maybe a new Metroid game. Or Next Level Games would be cool to see what they're up to. They did like Mario Strikers on the GameCube. They also did Luigi's Mansion and Punch-Out. So they're working on something else. It'd be cool to just kind of see what they're up to. It'd be nice if Paper Mario was real. That I'd be really excited about. But I think the big thing that is going to be at this particular E3 is some sort of amiibo game. Some sort of game that uses their amiibos in some sort of fashion other than unlocking costumes or giving you snippets of retro games, something that uses them in some sort of meaningful way. But the big rumor that's been flying around the past couple days is an Animal Crossing Wii U game might exist and might come to E3. I'd be disappointed. Not because it's Animal Crossing, but because there are people around the internet who, when Zelda got announced last year, they immediately started saying Zelda will not come out when they say it's coming out, which was 2015, and Animal Crossing will come out instead. And Animal Crossing is a game that has not been announced. And it's kind of rubbed me the wrong way that people jump to the conclusion like, no, Zelda's going to be delayed. They're going to do Animal Crossing instead. And Zelda's been delayed. And God damn it, I'll be so mad if they're right. Just because they placed no faith in Nintendo's word there. It turned out to be half justified. But to automatically assume that no, you're not going to do what you say we're doing. Instead, we assume you're going to do this other thing that you have not even mentioned before. I don't know. It just seemed a little bit dumb. Curmudgeonly. Is that a word?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that's going to bring this show to a close. Next up is the Pokemon show.
Whoop, whoop.
And that'll be a fun one. We're gonna wrap up our thoughts on the fifth generation.
Yep.
We're going to rank the types as they sit in the fifth generation.
Yes.
And we're going to play Who's That Pokemon?
All right.
It'll be fun. And then after that, we'll have the mini show. You're going to talk about the TV show, right? What was it called?
Adventure Time? Rick and Morty. I can talk about Adventure Time too. Don't me.
We might. Okay, maybe Wes will talk about both of them.
Goofy humor.
And then after that will be the Super Nintendo show, and then we'll start it all up again at the end of June with an official show. So, till then, everybody.
Zalow.
Peace.